You are so welcome to the Roundtable Podcast once again, and I have with me Rosie, Matthew, and Candice, or Candice, depending on your your choice of pronunciation. And so, the last few weeks we've had a number of different podcasts looking at there's healing from a hurried life. We had Andy Gamble last week, and this week we kind of want to look at something different and look at the power of staying. And so in the last few weeks, we looked at the kind of the whole idea and thought of slow, and how slow is a really negative word in our society. Mm. Slow equals bad. Why are you slow? Why are you so slow? And I think that another word could easily be seen as a negative in our society is staying. Mm. Don't stay, go. Yeah. Why would you stay? Why would you stay here? And so often the verbiage that we have is move and change and leave. If you feel like it, if you've been let down or hurt or disappointed, it's almost your right to leave. It's your right to go and not stay. And, you know, we even see in modern careers that it used to be where you might have one or two jobs, but now on average the average employment changes every 2 years. Mm. You move on every 2 years. Mm. Marriages have an incredible high rate of divorce. It's expected it's over 50% of marriages end in divorce. And you know what? It really redefines how we interpret loyalty and commitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even when you look at our communities nowadays, people are so transient, so they might move into a home or a neighborhood for not for what used to be a lifetime, but now it might be for a season. Mm-hmm. And so putting down roots and stability and longevity, these are all interchangeable words that we're having to redefine and relook at and see what is the benefits of them, because oftentimes they're put in such a negative connotation. So we have got four modern young adults, some older than others. and today we're going to have a conversation not about staying in our as a societal ideology or interpretation or as a culture, but we're going to look at staying with God and what that looks like. What is staying with in our faith, staying with the church? So guys, I want to first begin by asking you, each of you, how long have you stayed with God and in church? And just what are your thoughts about all of this? Candice, I'll start with you.
You know, I was going through the questions with Rosie, and I ran to her and I was like, oh my goodness, this year is my 20th year anniversary of being with Jesus. This
amazing.
Year,
amazing.
My sister dragged me to church when I was 5, 6 years old, but at the age of 12, I made my own personal commitment to follow Jesus. So I'm giving away my age, but it's been 20 years of following Jesus, being committed to Jesus, and it's been a journey filled with lots of ups and downs. But I think this whole idea of staying is really interesting, because I think as a community, we really want what's convenient and what's easy. And I think when something's not convenient and not easy, that's often when we walk away and we don't stay. And even with God, when it doesn't feel convenient or doesn't feel easy, it's so easy to walk away then from that. And I was thinking about the gym because I'm trying to be healthy and go to the gym. And it's so funny because, you know, if it were easy, everyone would be doing it, but the gyms are not packed out at the moment. But when you do stay and when you are committed, it actually produces something so amazing in you. You know, produces those core muscles, it produces that strength. But one has to stay in order to see that. And so, it sparked all those thoughts just about convenience and ease, but something incredible is produced. Very inside good. Of us
staying
when we stay.
Produces strength.
Yes, good one, Sean. Good.
Well, you said that.
He'll Rosie? Try claim it though. Yeah.
Hashtag. What about yourself, Rosie?
For me, I became a Christian, gave my life to Jesus when I was about 14 or 15, which then triggered me earlier. That's half my life almost, which is really crazy.
It's beautiful.
So when I was a young teenager, I mean, feel like I became a Christian a bunch of times over a few years, which I think is true for many people or feels that way. For about 17 years for me. I think echo even what Candy just said, I think we can all find many reasons not to stay, whether that's like geographically where we're living, because I don't know how I feel about this town, or, oh, it's better over there, that looks cooler, or if that's in a job, or that's at a church, or even within your relationship with God, because I think in every situation, but and also with faith and with our walk with God, we almost get tricked into this illusion of, like, once you give your life to Jesus, and we've heard this a million times, or we've talked about this a million times, things are good. Like, you all begin to believe that, even if it's never told to you in so many words, you kind of believe that, oh, everything's going to change now. Yeah. And everything does change, but life is still hard. Yeah. And life still happens, and the hard things still come. And so, yeah, I think there's many reasons not to stay. And it's hard.
Yeah.
Mm. It's really hard.
It is hard. Yeah. Yeah. Matthew?
Yeah, I've known God as long as I can remember. My parents were both Christians, loved the Lord. I've grown up in a Christian home. And I was thinking the other day, I can't remember a time when I didn't know about God. Mm. And what I heard growing up is Jesus loves me and all those truths. And that's been... You know, when I was growing up, I used to see the people with the cool testimonies, like, wow, I don't have anything amazing to say about my journey. And then I can't remember who it was I heard someone say, but someone's like, you know, if you don't have a testimony, that's a testimony. Like, there's so much you've dodged from having the Lord in your life. And as I look back in my life, there's so much, and again, life isn't perfect or easy, but there's so much I've been saved from staying with the Lord, with remaining with the Lord. So many mistakes I haven't made as a young man that I could easily have, right? And so, yeah, that's been the benefit of staying for me. Yeah.
But that, what you just said, is so good, because we romanticize this idea, you know, you often hear your wilderness years. I had my wilderness years. I walked away from God, but I came back.
Yeah.
And we always try and learn from what it was like, people who didn't know Jesus and then came to know him. But what about learning from the ones who grew up or came to know Jesus, like you or myself through my family, when I was five, and my family coming to know Jesus and entering into the church and staying. Why we need to learn the testimonies
of those who stayed.
What made you stay?
Yeah.
Why did you stay?
Yeah.
How can I? Because of my three boys, they've all grown up in church. I want them to stay. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to have a testimony.
Yeah.
I want that. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want that to be their testimony. Mm. We know what we're saying. And so, you know, and just to clarify as well, when we're saying staying, leaving with God, we're not talking about, like, becoming a different religion or becoming an atheist, but there's an element of where you're active in your faith,
and then
there's an element where you're not active.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, for in your perspective and in your experience, because we all have friendships that have fallen away from God, we all know people, whether it's in church or have seen people, what are some of the reasons that people choose not to stay with God, to not to stay in their faith? What would you say?
I think one of the one of the things that came to my mind with that is we so quickly mix up church and God.
Yeah.
And I think all of us probably have done this, but like, we put our faith, like, are we actually putting our faith in the system and the structure of church and the rhythms of that, or is it actually God and the person of Jesus? Because if it's not, that will always disappoint.
Yeah.
That will always let you down, because the system's flawed, people are flawed. It's all so I think that's a really, really big thing. And I think the whole mindset as well, you kind of mentioned this at the beginning, I think, of that phrase, the grass is always greener. It always feels like that with many things, like where you're living, where you're planted, the job you're in. Things always look better, like the Instagram story reel. Things always look better somewhere else until you actually get there yourself and realize, oh crap, I'm here, I'm still here, and I brought all my stuff with me. So I think the whole grass is greener complex is a really real real thing in this, because we get confused. Faith is hard. Like, faith is really, really hard. That scripture, I wrote down the scripture, I think it's Hebrews. It says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. But things hoped for and things not seen, that's, you can't wrap your hands around that easily. It's not straightforward.
I think there's many different reasons, I think, why people don't stay with God or give up on God or give up on coming to church. And I think for me, the first three that popped into my head was just distraction. Like, we can just so easily become distracted, even by the busyness of life, that we let go of those spiritual disciplines, the things that keep us healthy. I think pain in life, because for every single one of us, no matter who we are, we're going to experience pain of some sort. We're going to experience pain of some sort. And I think usually we want to just bury that pain. We want to hide the pain. But I think God loves us too much to leave us the way that we are. And so God often wants to deal with that pain and bring it up to make us better, to grow us. And I think sometimes that can cause us just to walk away because we don't want to deal with that pain. We don't want to deal with those things. And the last one for me was, again, just that fairy tale of Christianity, that surely this should be easy. Surely this is just going to be the picture perfect. And Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it." And I think it's that narrow gate. It's that small gate, the narrow road and the small gate, that's sometimes so hard to face because it's like, this is going to be hard. Sticking with God, sticking with my relationship with Jesus is going to be difficult. And I think sometimes that can be what causes us to turn and walk away from Him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned there pain, suffering. I would see it from my experience has been trying to wrap your head around how could God allow us to suffer. And that whole idea of a suffering theology and understanding how suffering works within us and how you can see God within your suffering. I think that is so important.
Yeah.
What about you? What, you know, from your own experience, your own age group, your friendship?
Yeah, I think a lot of what Rosie said, it's people, you know, find issue with other people in church or in a particular organization, the way things done. And if your whole understanding of your faith is wrapped up in one particular way of doing things, then if your if your faith in that system is eroded, then your whole belief system is. So I think that's one thing. And I think another thing, a lot of the time I hear stories about people who have, you know, decided, I don't want to be involved with God so much. A lot of the times they, you know, from what I've seen, there are people who weren't necessarily that close to God. From what I could see, you know, I think I struggle to think, you know, for the journey I've walked, like knowing God and who He is. Again, I've never been in that situation. Maybe that those people have been, but I would struggle to think, oh, how could I walk away when I know who He is? And so I wonder if, you know, because we can grow up, and if you just grow up in church and you just, church is a proxy for your faith, and then you grow up and you leave your house and your parents aren't dragging you anymore. Well, it's very easy to realize, oh, actually, I'd never really believed this. This was never personal for me. It was just part of my culture. And now that I'm out of my house, it's different. And I think that can be a thing that a lot of people get swayed by.
That's really good. And so I'll ask you this question and first just to discuss it, but why have you stayed? And what has kept you? Because it's just interesting to even hear how you talk. And I'm thinking of the other conversations that people might be listening. Well, you know, you're so lucky you had a family who were churchgoers and brought you to church. But I've also seen the flip side of that is this, like literally the hundreds of people I know who have walked away from God because they were brought to church and their family grew them up in that. And they didn't know anything different. You know, why did you stay? What kept you?
I think two things. One, like, you know, when I've gone through difficult times, I'm not talking about like, oh, I got a little upset, like difficult times. It's my relationship with the Lord that has held me fast. And that's been huge. There's a personal, like, it just, when you work through things with God, there's a personal, it just strengthens your belief and it strengthens your faith. And then I had a second thing and I've completely forgotten what it is.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah, it'll come back to me. Yeah.
Yeah. I think kind of on that, one of the things for me is like my history with God. And I think that's kind of packages what you said, like my history with God, my past experiences with Him and the hard things that I've been through. Those hard things revealed His character to me. And so when I'm like, I want to walk away, I'm reminded of his character. And then I'm like, I can't walk away from that. I can't walk away from who he is. Because again, the church will let you down. Mm. Organizations will let you down. People will hurt you. Christians, believe it or not, will stab you in the back. Like, things happen because we're all human beings. But when I look at God, the thing that's helped me stay is his character and who he is. And again, just another verse. So with the history, it's remembering what God has done has helped me to stay. Remembering the past things he's done, his goodness. And Psalms 103, verse 2-5, it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. Mm. He heals all my disease. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things and my youth is renewed like eagles." And it's just that thing, may I never forget his faithfulness, his goodness in years past. And that's in the now, what keeps me going. And just encounters with God. I remember as a 13-year-old, as a 16-year-old, those moments in worship. And I can't tell you the details, but I just remember these moments that marked my life and changed my life forever. And those experiences are undeniable. They're in my experience, and they are so real to me. Yeah. And I think that's what's helped me to stay is remembering those moments and what God did and who God is to me because of what he showed me.
Yeah. And jumping back in there, the second thing was
here we go.
I remembered it. Is purpose. And if you've ever asked yourself, what am I doing here on this planet? And why do I exist? And why do we do these things? Why do we go to church? Why do we believe in God? And I think over the years, the teenage years into early young adulthood, I don't know, something in me began to, you know, I believe that, you know, God created us, God, to love one another. And he created us for purpose. And if I truly believe that my purpose is to know God and to love others, if I walk away from that, I'm walking away from the reason for my existence. Mm. What else do I have? And,
so
you know, it's Paul mentions that. He's like, if we don't have hope, if we don't have purpose, then we may as well live like everybody else. You may as well just go eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? And if you really think that you were created for a purpose, that you have a reason for existing. Mm. To walk away from God is to walk away from that. And that terrifies me, the thought of not having purpose, just existing blankly. It's not nice.
Yeah.
I think for me, what you said, Candy, was the encounters and the experiences with God. And I know, like you said, you become a Christian so many times, you give your life to Jesus so many times. And it was an encounter that made that final decision. And then there has been, I wouldn't say loads, but there has been really key encounters with God where I've experienced him. And that defines logic and defines understanding and intellect, or defies it. Yeah. And when I, go through a rough time and difficult, and everyone thinks like, you know, there's perfect people like me or you or anyone else. It's like, no, we all face the exact same trials.
Yeah.
But going, wow, no, God is real. I know that because I've met him.
Yeah.
I've experienced it. Mm. Sometimes it's been at the lows and sometimes it's at the highs. What about you, Rosie? Why have you stayed?
Yeah, I think super similar to what some of you guys have said. I think for me, the word that comes is hindsight. It's like that being able to look back and see like how God has kept me.
Yeah.
Like you look back and we can all like probably look back at our lives and see certain pillars and certain events or certain like life situations where you can look back and you look back and remember, oh my gosh, that was horrific. That was horrible. Like, I don't know how he got through that. But the beauty of hindsight is that, especially as a Christian, as someone walking with God, you look back and you see, oh my gosh, he actually held me through that. Oh my gosh, he actually, like, I prayed for this in that situation. I didn't feel it at the time, but look how he held me through and look where he's brought me since. So I think hindsight, though so painful because you're going through it, when you look back, see how God's moved. And then the other thing I think is so, so huge for me is worship. And not in a sense of, I don't mean leading worship or standing on a stage singing. I mean that quiet place.
Yeah.
Those encounters, those, like, I vividly remember as a teenager, very early on, after I would have given my life to Jesus, I was pretty like heartbroken over some boy or something. But I vividly remember, like, I would lock myself in my bedroom, lights off, blackout, blind down, and I'd light a little candle and I'd like pan out and I'd just have worship songs on, bit of Delirious, But I, but those times, those, they shaped me. Like, yeah. Jesus shaped my heart and like etched things into me in those times that even now, like 15, 17 years later, I draw on those encounters because they were so formative. And and that's the beauty of walking with God. But yeah, I think worship, because of course the right answer here is the word. But like sometimes it's hard to sit and get the truth of the word into you, and sometimes having the truth of God's word sung over you from a song playing on Spotify, Jesus meets you there. And I think worship.
And with hindsight, I think one of the things that's helped me is journaling.
Yes.
And the practice of journaling, especially, now, not every day. You know, today I went and I met so-and-so. It's like, this is what I'm going through. I'm praying to God, crying out to God, and then coming through it. And then when you're in a tough time, scrolling through your journals, actually, he did actually do that.
Yep. Yeah, that's amazing.
But I asked him, that actually happened.
Yeah.
That can really
that's
be
so
helpful.
Good. If I can mention, with hindsight and journaling, I think one of the things that's also kept me is, again, remembering, but the promises of God. Mm-hmm. And I was reading 1 Peter 5, verse 8-10, and it says, stay alert. And I think this is why so many of us don't stay with God, because it says this. We do have an enemy. It says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So, after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. And I think in hindsight, I can always see how God came through on his promises. He never actually let me down. It might not have looked how I imagined. Mm-hmm. It may not have turned out the way I pictured, but he was always faithful to his promises to me, and he gave me that support, and he put me on a firm foundation. Mm-hmm. I think that, looking back at those things, that's also definitely helped me to stay.
Mm. Great.
Yeah.
Well, the other part that I want to look at and talk about is the idea of disappointment. Mm-hmm. So there has not been many, but there's been a few times in my life where I have felt like giving up, you know, walking away. And when I say that, it's, you know, giving up on God, giving up on church, it not necessarily, you know, turning in my faith and becoming this different person, but just stop progressing, stop growing in God, stop moving in him. And it was always because on these times were always marred by the cause of disappointment. And I had to come to a place where I had to deal with that disappointment, surrender, forgive, and make amends, or look back and kind of either I receive forgiveness or ask for forgiveness, or somehow just kind of and deal with that. And oftentimes it wasn't necessarily always with people, but often with God.
Just,
why would you let that happen, God?
Yeah.
Why would you allow that? And I think that's the question that never... we can never answer audibly from someone else that will make a settle in our hearts, but we experience the answer from God. And it's like dealing with that. And so a question I want to ask you guys, and I believe a question that so many people are asking right now, because so many people are disappointed, especially in this season. They've been let down. Is how have you dealt with disappointment in relation to God? How have you dealt with that in your life and in your journey? Matthew, what about you?
Me and Candace were talking about this the other day, and I was saying, well, I don't know. I've been disappointed lots in my life, but I've never felt disappointed with God. And again, this maybe is affected by, you know, your personal theology or whatever, how you understand God or how you see God. But I've never understood God to be someone who looks at me and says, I'm gonna get mad. I'm gonna take this thing from him. I'm gonna stop this, or I'm gonna stop this good thing from happening to him, or this good thing he has, I'm gonna take it away just to toy with him. I don't, when I look at scripture, the whole of scripture, that's not the God I see. That's not the God I hear about. That's not what I see in Jesus. Yeah. And I think like life is difficult. Bad things happen to really good people. Life is so horrible, and I haven't seen the half of it yet. I know that. But I don't think we can blame God for life being difficult, right? Or for horrible things happening. And again, I say that I'm aware, I say that in from a naive place of not having to have gone through, you know, crazy things. But I think anytime I have gone through something, God has still been there in it. You know, it's not like he took something away and then left me to wallow in my pain. when things happen, because we live in a fallen world, he has been there. And so I think God has walked with me through my disappointments. And that's been my experience. And in that and through that, I've come out the other side of them because he's been there.
So my experience is very different to that experience. And even while we're talking, I was like, that's good, my love. That's really good. But for me, I'm like, wow, I can really remember very deep, not moments, but seasons, not a day or a week, but months and months of dealing with really deep, painful disappointment at God. Like, I wasn't disappointed just about life, but it was at God, because he was my everything. And for me, it was almost like a season of conflicting with God, where I was conflicting and hitting heads and butting heads with him. And I think so many people can relate, where, you know, I had to deal with my anger towards our God. I was angry at him. I was like, why would you abandon me? Why would you? It felt like you've forgotten me. You've walked away from me. I felt so alone. And so many different occasions where I felt like I hit that. And I was like, what do I do with this? And I'm conflicting with him. And, you know, I think for so many people who are listening, they can maybe even relate. For me, I feel like it was most of my 20s. I went on this journey of up and down, of being fine, but then being really disappointed in God. Because, you know, you have these expectations of your life. Oh, by 21, I'll be there. And at 24, I'll be there. And at 28, I'll have kids. And by 30, I'll have a house. And by 32, I'll have this. But then life doesn't happen the way you imagine your life to happen. And you have to go to God with that and be like, and for me, there were moments where I felt like, why do you want me to be so unhappy? Because that's where I found my happiness. I was like, why do you want me to be in so much pain? But the beauty of all of this was in that conflict. You know, when you have conflict, say now Rosie and I have a conflict.
Never.
Never, Rosie. We're perfect together. Like, we have this conflict, but when we work through it together, we're always better on the other side of that conflict. And so I wouldn't walk away from God with my anger, my frustration, and my hurt, but I'd stay with God and conflict with him over months and months. And then through that conflict, he'd always show me more of his character and show me, no, I'm not trying to make you suffer. I'm not just taking you through pain for uses. There's purpose in your pain. I'm building something in you. And so God always showed me his character through those seasons of deep disappointment. And those seasons, it was a journey of learning how to trust him. Because I really had to let go of control of all the things I was disappointed over. And I had to let go of those things, but learn to trust him no matter what happens. Even if all the things in my heart don't get answered, I need to trust who he is, his character, his faithfulness. So that's just a little bit of my story of dealing with disappointment with God, conflict with him, and let him show himself to you in the midst of that.
One of my favorite, when I read, I love reading the Psalms, especially like during this season, I've read it quite a lot, is when David cries out, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Will you forget me forever? And it's like in a number of Psalms, not just one. And then he always comes to the place where I will wait. I will trust. Yeah. I will believe. Yeah. And it's like, I think that we just need to become a more honest and transparent. It's like, I'm struggling, God. I need you. Why is this happening? How long are you going to forget me? How long is this going to go on for? And then coming to that place of acceptance and surrender, going, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. What about you, Rosie?
Yeah, I think in the question, part of the question you asked, I think those things of surrendering, forgiving, accepting and moving forward, I think we all have faced those decisions. I think as we all know it, life presents you with all sorts of good, bad and ugly. And I think we do have a decision to either walk through the forgiving, the accepting, the surrendering, the moving forward, or get bitter, whether that's at God or at God and other people. And that's such a simplistic way to say it, but it's a real thing. And I think something, even as we were preparing for this, that I was kind of digging and remembered was, even for me growing up, for whatever reason, I probably need to go to therapy to figure this one out. There's some deep-rooted childhood reason. But I always had this fear and this complex of the worst possible thing ever happening. Like, what's the word? Like, you get in a plane. Oh my God, the plane's going to crash. I'm going to die. Like the worst possible thing. Always, like, catastrophize things.
Scope word.
It is a very good way.
Psychologist out there knows the answer. Yeah, yeah,
please hook me up. No, but yeah, I always had that kind of almost a complex or fear. And when I was an older teenager, I knew Jesus. I was walking with God. Went through a really traumatic experience when I was 18, where I lost some friends that I loved. It was a horrible, experience. And it like shook my faith completely. Mm. And that was like an affirmation of, oh, the worst can happen. Like, look, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in your life. The worst can happen. What more is going to happen, Rosie? And those thoughts started going in my head. And then through my kind of early 20s and into my 20s, I definitely, looking back, I definitely was in this place of almost waiting for the next disappointment or waiting for the next worst thing that could happen. And there's always a worst thing that happens. Mm-hmm. Like there always is. And I think I certainly, especially in like my recent life, have arrived at this place of, do I actually believe the gospel is true? Like, do I actually believe in healing and redemption from all the horrible things that we all walk through? Do I actually believe that? Like, is redemption real? Is forgiveness real? Is healing actually real when you're faced with the grime of life? Is it real? And I was looking back over my journal from a few months ago, and I actually literally have a heading in it, disappointment. And which I thought was so funny considering today. And I just read through it, like, and because I pray a lot as I write. I like process through writing so much more than I do verbally. And I was just reading through it and realizing how I have dealt with disappointment with God, how I have dealt with it's through, like what you've already said, it's through writing and through almost getting that out to God and processing that whole thought of like, do I actually believe the gospel is real? Do I actually believe God heals?
That's really good. That's really, really good. And you know, the kind of heart behind doing this and having this conversation is because I believe, and as you all know, that there are so many people in this place, whether it's thinking about the worst case can happen, you know, struggling with what you're going through and just battling in that. And so this is what I want to ask you guys, because as much as there's incredible testimonies of new people coming to faith, falling in love with Jesus, coming to church, which we love, there is a large number of people right now on the pinnacle of actually swaying towards just walking away. Just walking away. Going, this isn't worth it. What's the point? I give everything. I have the faith. And God never answers. God never provides. And struggling that disappointment. So how would you encourage these people right now is if you're speaking one-on-one to someone who's on that place, they're about to make that decision, or they've somehow swayed away. It might be today, it might be next month or a year from this date that we're saying this, but how would you encourage this person?
So I would say, and this is hard, but I would say, do not let your feelings make your decision for you. I would say, wade through the rough waters of whatever you're facing right now. Wade through that, because it's only in the pushing through that you're going to get through. If it's not this thing you're facing, you're going to face another thing and another thing. And at some point you have to decide, I'm not going to let the feelings of the hurt and the pain and the real feelings cause me to walk away, but I'm going to stay and I'm going to push through this so that I can get through this. It's only, you can see God's faithfulness when that's tested. You can see God's healing when you go through that pain. You can see God's faithfulness when you go through that difficult time. So if you're in that, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And what I would say is don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember.
That's good.
And if you're like, oh, I haven't seen big miracles, I haven't seen amazing things. Okay, but you're alive. You have breath in your lungs right now. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you, and we can remember those basic things, his forgiveness, his grace towards us. And even that can carry us through whatever we're facing today.
Very good. Excellent.
And like you're talking there about pushing in, I would say take it to God, because I think sometimes people go, I'm done with church, and they'll walk away from church and they haven't talked to Jesus about it and said, hey, I'm struggling with this, how do I go about it? And so take it to God. And what Candy said there about pushing in, like when we there's scripture, I can't remember which exact scripture says, when we draw close to God, he draws close to us. But it doesn't mean we come skipping to God, you know, like a fairy tale, he draws close to us when we draw close to him. So when, like, if God loves you, and he's for you, and you've believed that at one point, then if you go seek him, you'll find him. And I think go challenge him, and not in an arrogant, disrespectful way of like, well, God, you're dumb or anything like that, but like actually push and say, God, why is this happening? And question. And I think you'll find that he'll answer.
You will. Yeah.
That's great. You, Rosie?
So good. I think simply don't not allow God to come through for you. Like what you've already said, we stop him almost. We don't allow him to come through. We don't give him chance. And I think the main thing, though, that I would say is that we need pain. We need disappointment. Yeah. We need the grief. We need these pains and disappointments in life. We weren't designed for them. Our bodies and our minds reject them. But we need them, because without them, we will not see the glory of God. Without them, we will not experience freedom. Without them, we will not know redemption, healing, restoration, and experience God in all that he has for us. We need the pain, as horrible as that is.
Yeah. There's purpose in it.
Yeah.
There's purpose in the pain.
When Isaac's surgery was done, and I was on the second night, and then Jill was on the night after. I was at home, I was exhausted, and I was thinking, Jill, if we ever write a book about all the stuff that's after happening these last few years, I want to call it Pain in Our Purpose. Because I think that, you've even just said that there's purpose in our pain, but what happens if there's pain in our purpose? Life, pain exists in our life, and it's to be in our life. It's to be there. Not that there's just a purpose. There's pain. There's just there's pain. There's suffering, and the question is, are you going to allow God to grow you through that pain, or to give up in that pain?
Yeah.
I think you guys have really given a lot of great encouragements there, and I just want to just say this to anyone who is listening, who is feeling like giving up or not staying. Or you're standing in the gap for someone who's in that place, you know, don't give up.
Yeah.
Stay. As Candy said, don't allow your feelings to determine your decisions, especially if they're feelings of fear or disappointment or worry. And I want to just pray for everyone who's listening right now. And God, I just pray for every single person who's in that place, who's feeling weary, who's feeling like giving up, who's just completely controlled by their pain and disappointment. I pray right now for freedom. Amen. I pray, God, that you would break through in them and show them the light at the end of the tunnel and help them, carry them through. It might not be, not even to think in the next week, but just the next day to get through this season. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for watching. And next week, we have got an interview with Jamie Corcoran from Navan in Lighthouse. And it's going to be great. Can't wait to see you next week. God bless.